Hello, everyone. It's Nick Janicki with the FloatPodcast.com. I'm here with my beautiful, wonderful, amazing wife, Holly Janicki. And we're just going to talk a little bit about our entrepreneurial journey in the flotation industry. And one of the biggest things we always get from people, or the biggest questions we always get from people, is basically, you know, how do you stay married after, you know, 6 or 7 years of running a business together? And so I just kind of wanted to go through some of the things we do together to stay sane, some of the individual things we do, because we're, you know, we're with each other a lot. But yeah, so welcome, Holly. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Yeah, of course. And so tell me a little bit about, the things that happened during our first few years. You know, when we were in Scottsdale, it was very difficult at times. Nobody knew about floating, so there'd be, you know, days where, you know, you'd have one person booked at 8:30 p.m. We were working our 14, 15 hours a day. You'd look at the schedule and you kind of go, oh my gosh, there's someone not coming in for 8 hours, you know. And then gradually learned how to market, how to grow the industry in Arizona, at least. And, you know, now we're, you know, we have, I think, 6 true rests open as of this podcast, you know, and there's dozens more on the way. So, I mean, you know, in those first couple of years when things were tough, kind of what was the mindset that kept you sane, and what were the things you did in your life, you know, that kept you going and all that kind of good stuff?
Yeah, well, I mean, definitely there's a lot of trials and tribulations in the beginning. And even before we started the business, when you came to me and said, hey, let's go try this crazy floating thing and you know, I'm going to write a business plan and let's just throw all of our life savings into it. And, you know, you can quit your job and start tiling showers with me. And I was kind of like, well, okay, you know, we're young and I trust you. And if we're going to do something, we might as well do it now. You know,
right.
Now is the time. So I just hopped on board and said, whatever I need to do, I'll do it. And we can get, you know, just get started. And so those first few months, first year or so in Scottsdale, you know, no one knew about it. So we had to kind of start describing from scratch about, you know, what this floating thing is all about and what it really does. And what I learned in the beginning, which I didn't really know the first time we floated, I kind of was like, I don't know about this. I'm not really sure, you know, but I floated and I felt really good. And then we started.
So when you say you're not really sure, what were you not sure about as in terms of having it as a business?
I wasn't really sure before I floated,
oh,
like what it was really about before I did it, if that
right.
makes sense.
Oh,
yeah. Because you're like, oh,
it's hard to
you know,
describe.
The crazy floating thing,
and
people were telling us about it. We watched the Joe Rogan video.
Right.
You know, so it was very intriguing.
Mm-hmm.
But until I did my first float, I didn't really understand what was floating.
Right.
So I did the first float, and I felt great, you know, and really being able to feel those benefits was amazing. And somebody who wasn't necessarily in pain or in tons of, you know, having a lot of stress, but I just knew that I felt good after the float.
Right.
But then after we opened the spa and seeing people come in who really did have, you know, really serious pain issues, and seeing how far they could come, you know, from being in so much pain to doing their floats and really coming out of it and living their lives again and coming in and giving us hugs and you know, just changing their lives, I guess, is what made me think, wow, you know, this is truly amazing. And
what is one of the stories for you that kind of sticks out? In those first couple of years when we were in Scottsdale, we started doing kind of video testimonials and things like that. What is kind of one story for you that, you know, you still tell people that really sticks out?
Yeah, I think definitely our friend Kevin Halden.
Right.
You know, his story is amazing. And I remember the first time he came to float, he had been in pain for 8 years. And terrible back pain. I think he had some back surgeries. I know he had a basket in his back, things like that. He fell off of out of a two-story window and broke his back. And so just been in this chronic pain for years, not being able to get out of it. And he did his very first float. He came out of the float in the shower. He was telling his wife when he came out, he said, I was trying to make pain in the shower. I couldn't even make pain. This was the first time in 8 years I haven't felt pain.
He couldn't
pain.
Even find it.
He couldn't find the pain.
And he was looking for it, and he couldn't even find the pain.
No, he couldn't find it. He came out, and his wife was there. I'll never forget this. He looked in her eyes, just with this blank stare, and she said, Kevin, you know, what's going on? Are you okay? Are you okay? He's like, I don't have any pain.
Right.
You know? Just shocked.
Right. Absolutely.
And that was the first time his wife had ever seen him. not in pain.
Right, since they were married.
Because she knew him.
Right, since they knew she, yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah.
No, I remember that one too.
He could ride his motorcycle again,
mm-hmm.
said he could live his life again, and, you know, that's really what changed it for me, knowing how powerful this therapy is, and it just needs to be shared with the world.
Right, and so no matter what the tribulations were in terms of getting it started, educating people
right.
on what floating was, all the marketing we had to do, the slow days, the high rent, mm-hmm. you know, any problems we had with our first store in terms of build out, it was all worth it when you have people like that.
Yes,
I mean, that made everything worth it.
Mm-hmm.
So no matter what, I mean, you know, then going a couple of years down the line, now we're franchising and, you know, we're doing float pods. And, you know, there's days where
yeah.
it's hectic and it's stressful. So what are some of the things that you do for yourself, you know, that you found kind of keep you balanced and sane, basically?
Yeah, well, definitely. I think, you know, meditation and floating is, you know, it's sort of a form of meditation for me. But, you know, just a daily meditation, you
mm-hmm.
know, we do together usually half an hour in the morning. And it really just kind of resets your whole, just all of your senses, everything. And so that you can kind of start your day fresh.
Right.
And just always for me, you know, I really take to heart to, you know, constantly cultivate myself.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm always cultivating myself within truthfulness and compassion and forbearance.
Mm-hmm.
And when I remember to keep my heart in those places, even during the tough times, that helps me get through it.
Right. And you've said this on many occasions that if I do not meditate in the morning, I turn into a basket case. And there's even times where, you know, it's weird. It's like my whole environment is attacking me. So if I don't meditate in the morning, or if I don't read, if I don't get centered, you know, I'll like start tripping, tree branches will whip me in the face, I'll spill coffee on myself, my like snaggle tooth will like jump out and bite my lip. And, you know, Holly, you'll be like, okay, time for you to go home and meditate. You didn't do that yet, did you? The whole universe is against you. You need to go home and meditate. So for me, I have to meditate.
Mm-hmm.
It's who I am is after or during the process of meditation. So for me, meditation brings me into this, you know, this state of constant flow, and then everything goes smoother. And then when there are problems, they don't even feel like problems. They're opportunities. And so it's really a mindset shift. And as you mentioned, it's, you know, it's definitely cultivation. And so going back to one of the biggest questions people ask us is how after, you know, 6 or 7 years of being married, we've been married 8 years, you know, we've had the business for 6.5 years now, 7, counting, you know,
yeah.
doing the business
longer
plan
than that,
and stuff like that.
Longer than that, if you think about.
Everything.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, how, when we're together so much, would you say, are we able to stay, you know, happy and loving and still excited about our business and still excited about our relationship and the future?
Yeah, I think it, you know, it really comes down to communication and knowing that everything that is outside of us, we cannot control. But everything inside of our hearts, we can control. And so, you know, if you're having a hard day and something's happening with you, I can come and say, you know what, it's okay. We're going to get through this together, and we're going to help each other, and I'll bring you up if you're down.
Right.
If vice versa, if I'm down and having a hard time, there's many nights where I'm just being tears.
Right.
You know, our bank account is nothing
right.
or negative. And we were eating ramen noodles.
Right.
And I would just be in tears, and you would come to me and say, you know, it doesn't matter. We have each other, and we're going to make this work, and we're going to get through it, and it's tough, but, you know, you got to lean on one another.
Right. So it's really being a team. So we don't,
yes.
you know, we don't really compete with each other. You know, we're definitely a team together, and I think that's huge. And even when we have, you know, quarrels, which everyone does, we're human beings, we all make mistakes, but it's about how you solve your mistakes.
Yes.
And no one's perfect. I'm not perfect. You're not perfect. Nobody's perfect, but it's how we do that.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I jokingly say, you know, Holly's cried herself to sleep 3 times during our marriage, but, you know, you don't even remember why. It's just, you know.
Right. Things happen.
Things happen, and it's like, you know, it's stressful, but at the end of the day, we always now talk to each other. And the funny thing is, I didn't even know about that until, you know, 5 years into our marriage, and you're like, I've cried myself to sleep 3 times. And I was like, oh man, now I feel bad. But no, it's, yeah, so that's the thing. It's just open communication
mm-hmm.
and just really talking through everything. And what I always say, I don't hold any resentment in my heart for anything that happened in the past against anyone or anything
yes.
or any circumstance. So I will tell someone right there and then in the moment what the issue is. Even if I'm in a place of anger, I'll be in a place of anger in that moment, and that's my issue, right? The anger is my issue. So I'll be in a place of anger for the moment, but then we'll talk through it in that moment. So I won't ever hold resentment in my heart.
Yeah.
And for me, that's how I get through life. It's just, I'd rather be straight up honest with someone, even if it hurts, if it means that then I forgive and let go of that attachment to, you know, having a negative emotion towards them. And I think you're the same way.
Definitely. You can't hold it in. You got to talk about it and communicate and just help each other.
Right. So what would you think, you know, now that we're, you know, almost 7 years into this floating industry, and it seems like, you know, floating has gone from when we started, maybe 12 to 15 stores in the whole country that were, you know, had three or more pods. Now we're at over 200 stores that have three or four pods. I anticipate in the next 5 or 6 years, we're going to probably be a $1 billion industry, and there's going to be 2,500 or so stores, which almost sounds ridiculous, but I think it's absolutely going to happen. So, you know, the key is, we always talk about this, but how do we go from where we are now to where we're going, and how do we still keep our values and our relationship and, you know, everything we need to do to stabilize and grow the business? How do we keep all of that going and our marriage? You know, and what are some things that you've done yourself in order to, like, plan for the future? And one of them is obviously we're looking at adopting, but in kind of balancing our life, we kind of put off kids because of the business. Our, you know, business is our kids, kind of, for a little while, you know, and we've had some issues as well with having a kid and stuff. But, you know, so what are the things going forward that enter your mind in terms of, you know, how we need to change things or do things or maintain?
Well, I think, you know, just being able to communicate with one another and to plan, I think planning ahead and also at the same time as you're planning ahead, you're taking it day by day, right? And so you can never always expect what's going to happen. You have to be able to kind of roll with it, you know? I wanted to plan it this way, but it happened that way.
Right.
And to be okay,
it's a flexible
plan. Having to be flexible and to change things around and knowing that, you know, it's a process. It's day by day, and I think being parents is going to be a huge shift for us.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's going to, you know, be a big challenge, but also be very rewarding.
Right.
And it'll be a balance that we'll have to figure out as we go. And kind of like the same way we did with the store. You know, it was kind of step by step. We did it this way, and, you know, we're getting the store open, and sometimes there was delays or things happened, but, you know, in the end, we made it happen and we made it work and just communicate with one another. And, you know, it's really an exciting time to see the growth of the industry. And I think that what's really exciting about True Rest is having all of our franchisees coming on board and growing that family. So I think our network is just going to keep expanding and growing. So,
well, tell us a little bit about that. So you mentioned, you know, obviously now we're franchising. That was a big step for us. You know, originally, there was a couple of years we thought about franchising since the beginning, but we basically were thinking, you know, we don't want to franchise if we lose the essence or the vision or the heart of why we did this to begin with.
Right.
And for us, you know, the reason we did this to begin with was to have the flexibility to do other things that we wanted to do, but also be involved in an industry that had heart and passion. And floating met all of those requirements. And so for us, one of the big things is obviously our human rights work with Falun Gong. So Falun Gong's been persecuted for now 15 years in China. Mm-hmm. Their Chinese government's doing something as horrendous as forced organ harvesting, as we know. And, you know, they're basically torturing and harvesting organs from people involuntarily because they meditate. I mean, it's almost nutty. So yeah. One of our big things was we wanted to have an industry that we could still concentrate on those types of human rights things. So in the next, you know, 3 or 4 or 5 years, you know, how do you see yourself in terms of playing a role in where floating is going and then playing a role in terms of being a mom and, you know, and so there's more to balance and then playing a role in terms of, you know, human rights efforts and getting, you know, we have a friend, Kian Wong, who is a producer for a movie called Free China. And Free China talks about the organ harvesting that's going on in China and a little bit about the persecution. It won the Hollywood Music Awards in 2013. And so we're very involved in that. So, I mean, you know, it feels like as life goes forward, it's not going to get easier. It's actually going to get more difficult. So I've always had a notion that, oh, hey, when we're more successful, oh, hey, when we have more money, life's going to be easier.
Yeah.
And, you know, false.
Nope.
That's not how it works
Definitely
at all.
Definitely negative.
And so I've come to realize that it's not about life getting easier. It's about me being able to endure more mm-hmm. in my life while still having the heart and the balance and the vision to carry through the bigger vision. And so it's not about being easier. It's not about retiring out in Maui, as nice as that sounds. You know, I might go there for 2 weeks or something. Mm-hmm. And we do travel a lot.
Yes.
But for me, it's about knowing what are the responsibilities of me, how are they going to grow, and then how do I handle all of those things. And so for you, when you look, you know, 3 years in the future, you know, for me, I know it's about, okay, I have to meditate every day. I got to float a couple times a week. I got to do my Qigong exercises. I need to read. I need 2 hours before I go to bed with no screens, no technology, no mm-hmm. Wi-Fi, no EMF radiation. And I know all those things about myself. And it's just like this super tightrope. If I fall off even a little bit on one thing, all my balance is gone. It's just like, boom. And then I feel terrible. I'm pretty sensitive, you know?
Yeah, definitely.
And so probably, you know, I would say even more sensitive to you. If I don't meditate, by the time 3 o'clock rolls around, I'm just like, F this, I'm just like super like, you know, bombarded by life. So for me, I have to have that daily, rest. For you, knowing everything's going to increase, it's going to get more difficult, and having kids, that tests a lot of marriage. So, I mean, what are your feelings in terms of adding a kid into the balance and growing the business and doing more things? It's just, you know, there's a lot to think about. And I've told you this, it's like having a kid is terrifying, you know? And
yeah.
So I'm dealing with all that myself, and I think that's a good thing to be afraid. I think if you think you're going to go into anything and it's going to be easy, that's kind of scary. You should
yes.
be afraid a little bit. Mm-hmm. I think that's natural. So for you, what are the things you're doing to kind of like mentally prepare yourself, our future family, and the business?
Yeah, definitely. So, you know, I obviously benefit from doing the meditation, the Qigong exercises as well, and reading. I think those are really important, you know, with our practice. And also just to really stay in the mindset of having this heart of great forbearance.
Mm-hmm.
And so just knowing every tribulation that you come across and kind of keeping yourself in check. And I think part of doing the meditation and the exercises and the reading is making that foundation happen within yourself. And so along with that, obviously there's gonna be a balance because you're gonna have a little kid running around,
mm-hmm.
right?
Oh my gosh.
So, you know, I think babysitters,
right?
Family,
mm-hmm.
Maybe eventually an au pair,
mm-hmm.
you know, when we're ready for that. But being able to know that taking time for yourself is okay.
Right.
And taking time together as a couple without the kids is okay.
Right.
I think that's really important. I really want to plan to be able to, you know, have a date night once a week, at least once a month.
Heck yeah.
Yeah. I think that's really important to keep your relationship strong.
Right.
And not only that, sometimes I like to even get up in the morning early.
Mm-hmm.
I like to get up and not even maybe necessarily meditate, but just kind of sit outside, drink a cup of coffee by myself, or go for a swim. Just have that time where it's just me.
Right.
And I can focus on me.
And that's my nighttime.
Yeah. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a good balance.
Right.
You know, morning
totally.
And night.
Mm-hmm.
But I like the mornings because they're quiet.
Right.
It's really peaceful.
Mm-hmm.
You can hear the birds chirping a little bit. And it just kind of gives you that even set for the day and just knowing like, okay, whatever happens today,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to be okay.
Right. Right. Now, what would you tell people, let's say young couples or young entrepreneurs that want to get into the business? Maybe they have kids. Maybe they don't have kids. Maybe they're married. Maybe they're single. Maybe they're divorced. You know, what would you tell someone that wants to get into the industry? From the standpoint, okay, there's tribulations, there's hard things, a lot more people know about it. Floating is absolutely on the up and up. You know, what would you tell someone that's thinking about entering this industry? What would your advice be?
Well, I think number one, you know, when you go into any business, you have to expect that things are not going to go as you plan them. And to have a really tough skin
mm-hmm.
and to really fight for what you believe in. And, you know, if you have the option to go with a franchise,
mm-hmm.
I would go that route.
Boom. Get a true rest.
Yes.
But no. But true.
Well, I'm just saying.
No, I'm joking.
For myself,
right.
If it was me doing it all over again, I would want to be a true rest.
Right.
Are you kidding me?
Right.
All those times that we spent, you know, doing these Harkins ads, these movie theater ads for thousands of dollars, wasting all this money on a build out that we had
well,
to just leave behind.
I tell people I spent about $150,000 to $200,000 that I didn't need to
yes.
spend. If I had known better. And
mm-hmm.
not everyone has $200,000 to throw around.
And not only that, but the support.
Right.
The family.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have, all the tools and the family that you need, the people that you need to lean on to help you to get through the process.
And not everyone can be a part of a True Rest either. But I mean, so, you know, say, and there's going to be different people. Some people are going to like franchising.
Right.
And I say there's no holy grail of how you do this.
Yeah, and
if you
can do
a franchise,
your own thing
cool. If you want to do your old thing, cool too. I don't think there's a right or wrong.
Yeah.
So let's say, yes, I agree. If I had to do it again, I would definitely consider a franchise. Now, say if someone didn't want a franchise and they want to do it themselves, what would your advice be to that person?
You know, the same thing I said earlier, have, you know, fight for what you believe in and have a tough skin and have a lot of money,
mm-hmm.
because you're going to be trying things that might not necessarily work. You want to
learn
that.
From everyone else. Don't shut yourselves off to what other people are doing.
Yes.
I think that's a key too.
Yes, definitely.
Like really see,
learn from
a lot
other
of people,
people
copy us, and that's cool.
Yeah, and do your research and talk to people and, you know, just do your due diligence to really understand, you know, what floating is and you know, where you want to be, where your location wants to be, you know, what
right.
kind of a equipment do you need, and, you mm-hmm. know, the whole thing. You just have to research it.
Right, right. Well, and what I love about this industry, I think, you know, it is a movement at this point, absolutely. You know, Andy Zaremba, he's going to talk about that a little, about the float. He's going to talk about that at the float conference, how this is a movement right now.
Yeah.
You know, and it's going to turn into an industry, but right now it is still a movement. It's still the crazy guy dancing alone in the crowd with, like, you know, five or six people dancing
yep.
around him. It's not an industry yet. It's still, we're still all crazy people at this point that are doing this. But, you know, the thing is, for me, it's, there's other things that are being created in the industry outside of just owning and operating a float center or spa, as well as the manufacturing. There's other little niche things that are happening. There's going to be copywriters that will enter the industry. There's going to be, you know, for example, like flotationlocations.com is a great website that utilizes their previous skills to, like, basically support the industry.
Yeah.
You know, so there's going to be all these other things that are formed around the industry. So you don't necessarily have to go spend $200,000 or $300,000, $400,000 to open a center or start a manufacturing. There's other things you can do in the industry to support the industry.
Right. And you have to figure out what's your level of pain tolerance.
Absolutely.
Because, you know, you kind of set that bar high if you want to do something big.
Right. Absolutely right.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, very good. Well, as usual, you know, thank you so much. And obviously, I love you. You're my wife. So. But, you know, visit, we always have an audio and a video
yep.
portion of the podcast. So check out the video portion. The video always usually has little Easter eggs that we'll put in there and stuff like that. But always sponsored by TrueRest.com, which is the fastest growing floating franchisor in the world, as well as FloatPod.com, makers of premium float tanks. And check out FloatPodcast.com.
Yes.
For more episodes, and I look forward to seeing you on the next episode. Thank you very much.